we have the absolute pleasure of having on tonight's show, Glenn A. Baker. G'day, Glenn.
G'day, mate. Great to be with you.
A busy 2017, but of course, big things on the calendar for next year, including the 16 fabulous days on this mighty trip that you've organised, the Mississippi River Boat Cruise and the Music of the Deep South with your good self, an epic journey on the American Queen. First up, tell us about this most opulent riverboat in the world.
Well, it is the largest riverboat. I mean, it will become our own Proud Mary. Maybe we'll have a sense that we're like in a Mark Twain novel, that, you know, that Huckleberry Finn will be out there joining us. Or maybe this will be like Frankie and Johnny being, you know, playing, you know, riverboat gambling up the other end. But it's an extraordinary riverboat. It's got, you know, sort of this ornate Victorian architecture. And fun to see people these days, when I guess they shell out to do an international trip, they really want it to be, you know, sort of like extremely comfortable. And, mm-hmm. and that's what this thing is. But we're going to be on it and enjoying all its splendors, but at the same time, as we get to places along the way, Nottoway, St. Francisville, Natchez, Vicksburg, and then Greenville, we're going to be actually leaving the ship and going to be investigating things like the sounds of the Mississippi Delta. I mean, we're going to be going to what is called, well, there's two locations, so we're not sure which is the real one, so we're going to be going to both. We're going to be going to the crossroads. Yep. The crossroads where legend has it, the great blues man Robert Johnson, the first of the 27 Club, I should point out, way back when, sort of did a deal with the devil to be able to play you know, hit the blues so perfectly. Where he did that, Eric Clapton in Cream played Crossroad Blues and brought it to life. And he now has a Crossroads Guitar Festival. And so not only will we be visiting, you know, antebellum mansions and where like the moss hangs from the trees and the extraordinary architecture and the very feeling of the South, but we'll be doing it with sort of, you know, within ready reach of all these musical echoes. And that's really what this is going to become a part of. Even when we arrive in New Orleans, the echoes that are going to be reaching us will be the echoes of like the origins of jazz, the Cajun, Zydeco, the French sounds that came in from the swamplands. And then we're going to be hearing Louis Armstrong and Fats Domino and Little Richard and you know, sort of like Dr. John and all those things. And as we go up through the Delta, it's going to be the sounds of, you know, Howlin' Wolf, and it's going to be the sounds of, well, you know, a thousand other performers, because that was the area where the cotton fields were, where, you know, sort of like black churches held sway. And from way back from like the, you know, the time of the slave plantations and those raw call and response sounds that echoed through the night, you know, way, whoa, all those incredible, all that will become, you know, we will be revisiting it spiritually as we go along. And then we arrive in Memphis, and in Memphis, the big city where Elvis, of course, lived, and where Stax, all the people of Stax, Otis Redding and Booker T and the MGs made music. And then we're going to slip up to Muscle Shoals, where Aretha Franklin and Percy Sledge and all these people recorded. And then we go to the other end of the state of Tennessee, to Nashville, where country music, of course, was centered. And we'll be going to the Grand Ole Opry, and we go and have a look at the refurbished Ryman Auditorium, and we'll be going to Music Row, where all the publishing houses and all the, you know, people like, you know, Willie Nelson have a shop and a store and Ernest Tubb, all that sort of stuff. And, you know, you got to wonder to yourself, mate, how one state can
contains
have
it all. Yeah.
Music. How one end can be Memphis and all that, you know, sort of that happened there. Very much a black culture, but on the other end is, I suppose, more a white culture with Nashville and the country music thing. And that's, I guess that if I wasn't leading this tour, I'd probably want to go on it, if you know what I mean. I'd probably want to be there. But even little things like, you know, talk about the origins of all we've heard and all we love. Rock and roll, the first real true rock and roll record probably happened in about, it was called Rocket 88 by Ike Turner's Rhythm Kings with Jackie Brenston, and it was recorded in 1952 in Sun Studios in Memphis, 2 years before that truck driver who grew up in the area walked into the studio and fused white rhythm and black country music and with a tinge of gospel as Elvis Presley gave us a sound that would define popular music for the next 60 or so years. So all that is going to be within our reach. And there's one other thing I might mention, that we all love the sounds, the things that go into our ears. I get a feeling we all like the things that go into our stomach as
oh,
well.
Oh, yeah.
And we're going to be visiting like Corky's, the rib place that's quite famous. And it's going to be, as Hank Williams sang in Jambalaya, crawfish pie and a filet gumbo. We're going to be there with black-eyed peas and soul food. All the things that, oddly enough, maybe at the turn of the century, weren't considered by travellers to be all that attractive. They probably thought that, you know, the music of the black man wasn't something that necessarily attracted them. And like soul food wasn't necessarily what they were interested in, and yet somehow it swung around so that that's what visitors in this part of the 21st century want to do. They want to hear and they want to eat. That all the richness that comes from this part of the world.
How did you just limit it down to 16 days? That would have been a challenge unto itself, because you're thinking, I'd love to add a month to this.
Yeah, with great difficulty, my friend. Look, I've done a couple of tours for the same company, Travel Right, before, and they've been the same length, and they've been Beatle tours,
yep.
And we've gone to Hamburg, and then we've gone to London and Liverpool, visited all the Fab Four birthplaces and all things to do with the Beatles, houses where George Harrison lived at Henley on Thames, etc. And we've managed to fill every day there. And I think in the first Beatle tour, I had about 35 people. And, with great humility, I'm able to say that many of them came to me afterwards and said, this is the greatest experience of our lives.
Wow.
And many of them became friends. This became, I guess, fleshed out in our minds when the American Queen journey,
yep,
was presented to us. And we thought, well, if we make this the center, we can build around it. So, you know, if we can fly into New Orleans, which post-Katrina has managed to rehabilitate itself really, really well, and then we can use this American Queen trip to go up the Mississippi and visit all these places and then get to, we'll all fall into place. We're going to move, I guess, fairly decisively, fairly swiftly, to see all that we want to see. And, of course, a number of people will probably decide, once they're in this part of the world and once they're captivated by it, they may well decide that they want to spend more time. Of course, there's an awful lot more time you can spend. I mean, by the time we go to Muscle Shoals, where Lynyrd Skynyrd recorded Sweet Home Alabama, and things like that, there are people going to be going, we can go to where Ray Charles was born in Georgia, and we can go to whatever. But this trip is about, like I said, it's about 18 days. I think by the end of it, I hope I won't be all talked out. you may have noticed over the years, I'm not bad at actually telling tales and doing stories, but mainly, look, the good thing is I've met so many people key to this. I just recently spent an hour or so with Priscilla Presley.
Wow.
Who, of course, lived in Graceland from when she was 14. Knows and was telling me what was in Elvis's record collection and stuff like that. Members of Booker T and the MGs and people like that. So many people who have done so many incredible things in this part of the world I've come to know. But one of the best ones is, in fact, who explained to me the whole principle of how the sound of the South came about was Ray Charles. And in a long conversation I had once with Ray, where I asked him, the meaning of soul, which is what you do when you sit at the feet of,
of a master like
Godfather of soul. And I remember him saying that, that he was in a club one night and they played all night and they'd run out of things to play. And the promoters there going, keep playing, keep playing. So we said, so they just riffed it.
Yeah.
And what they riffed it on was something that had come out of his background in the black church and that black church culture. And it was the whole call and response thing. The way, whoa, hey, whoa, the back, the forward, the whole call and response thing. And he said, and the audience just instinctively went with it.
Wow.
I imagine, actually, now I think about it, it was probably a black audience. But he went the next day to Atlantic Records and said, we need to record this. We need to get this down. They put it down as a thing called What Did I Say? Which, of course, is one of the, you know, the, sort of the bedrock songs of music, which has been done by the Beatles, by, done by a whole range of people. And so I suppose we will close our eyes and we will just let all this wash over us, the very sounds of it, because it will all be there. Everything you've ever heard in popular music, in those genres of, you know, rock and roll, blues, rhythm and blues, soul, gospel, country, all comes from this crucible. This, you know, I call it, you know, sort of, you know, the ultimate creative crucible, citadel of creativity. You know, the cradle of creativity. It all came out of there. So that's what I'm going to do, humbly. I hope they'll have me. I hope they'll listen to me. And I hope they'll let me guide them through this part of the world. Well, I mean, we'll be dropping by, I think, you know, before we leave Louisiana, I think we're going to try and go to Faraday, mm-hmm. where Jerry Lee Lewis came from and where he still lives and still sits in his house. And occasionally when you walk through it, he'll sit there and yell at you, you know. And that's really good because I've been yelled at by Jerry Lee Lewis. And it's an interesting experience. But we will go to, you know, sort of like where B.B. King, you know, grew up and he played, and where, you know, where basically, you know, all these sounds and all the people who made them, you know, sort of like had their birth or had their flowering,
yep.
and all that stuff. So it's, you know, if I'm making it sound exciting, it has me excited.
Oh, it makes me excited just talking to you about it. And we are still quite a few months away from this because it's coming up in June going through to July next year.
Yeah, and American Independence Day, the 4th of July, will be actually in Memphis. On American Independence Day, probably going to Stax Studios, and you know, probably, you know, who knows where we'll be, but yeah, maybe we'll be checking in with the tailor who made Elvis Presley's clothes,
oh.
or maybe we'll be, you know, sort of like, you know, just going to where those sound, because it's not for those who know, say, even their 60s music. I mean, well, Arden Studios were in Memphis, and that's where the Box Tops made hits like The Letter. And that's where, you know, sort of like there was High Records were there, and that's where Al Green made Take Me to the River. And so, you know, and to even start, you can't even start on the things that came out of Nashville. But I recently actually saw a band called the Old Crow Medicine Show performing in Sydney at the Enmore Theatre, and they played the entire Bob Dylan Blonde on Blonde double album.
Wow.
And they played it because it was recorded in
yeah.
Nashville in 1967, and I'm sorry, 66. And so it was appropriate that a Nashville-based band like them would take it out on the road. So, you know, all the things I love, all the sounds that I think are really, really important will be coming at us. So I hope a few of your listeners will be able to sort of, you know, come join us. I promise to give them a good time.
Well, it sounds like it. I mean, seriously, we've just touched on some of the things that's involved. But like I said to you before, it's one of those things that I reckon if you could plan a full 6 months there, you'd still have too much to work into every single day. But
yeah, well, see, and remember that, I mean, once we've done this, I mean, you probably can figure where my mind is leading. I mean, we could probably go back and do other tours and maybe, you know, go to Chicago, where Chess you know, studios were, and we can maybe go to Detroit, where Motown was headquarters, or we could go to Los Angeles, where, you know, Phil Spector had his wall of sound, and we go to New York, where, well, for those who have been to see Beautiful on stage just recently, where Carole King and all the other Brill Building writers were able to set up shop and make their music. I mean, all that sort of awaits us. And then, look, there are there are places all over the world. I mean, yeah. There's a San Francisco tour, I think, begging to be done too, about, sort of the sounds that arrived there in the summer of love. And, I think it will probably keep me busy for as long as I decide to want to do it. And like I said, each time I do one of these trips, I make some good friends and of some people. I mean, we have dentists from Port Macquarie. We have, sort of like all manner of people, for not necessarily the music industry. Yeah. In fact, rarely the music industry.
But just fans of the music that they grew up with.
Yeah, they've just grown up. And, look, I've had people say to me that, gee, you're really lucky. You've been able to build your career around, the things that mean a lot to a lot of us, that is music and travel.
Yep.
And I said, well, to which I always do answer, yes, I know, I have been lucky, but I do find it funny that the harder I work, the luckier I get. But even so, I've been privileged to be able to meet people and go to places that really sort of like, have sung loudly in my mind and those of so many other people. So
yeah, just incredible. Now, if you want to be part of this, on this music cruise of a lifetime, packages are available. It includes airfares, accommodation, food, drinks on board the ship, world-class entertainment, access to daily sightseeing attractions, and of course, Glenn directing the entire trip, so you can pick one of the most knowledgeable music brains on the planet while you're at it. Make sure you check out travelrite.com.au. That's travelrite.com.au. Or you can give them a call, 1-800-630-343. Glenn, we could talk all night. We really, really could. Like you mentioned, that amazing performance that went all night too. We could do exactly the same thing, but we're going to let you get back to it and, of course, plan for this epic journey next year. Thank you so much for the incredible insights to what's involved with this next year. And
thank you for allowing me to actually explain it, because it's, there are those who on the surface just think, oh, yeah, a riverboat on the Mississippi, how nice. But
so much more than
that. What's involved? Like I said, we'll be showing films like the Crossroads film, and we've had Steve Vai, that incredible guitar. We'll find a place to show that film somewhere along the journey.
Wow.
We'll find a place to have performers, to come and talk to us and tell us tales. I mean, it's a bit of a work in progress at the moment while we're trying to decide, where we'll go with it. But but the core is there, and it will build definitely into something pretty amazing.